Okay, today we're gonna learn. Today we're gonna learn, right? This is live from the UN. Okay, we're gonna learn about the halacha, not the halacha, we're gonna learn about what is Hanukkah, right? Yeah, it's good?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, all being recorded. Okay. So, there's Shem Shmuel, one of the famous Hasidish Sfarim. You've heard of this? You've any of it?
Yeah.
So he says, one of the makor, there's a few people that give different makoros, different places for Hanukkah, you know, the remes for Hanukkah in the Torah. So, the Shem Shmuel wants to say as follows. Wants to say that on Rosh Hashanah, what's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah was when man was created, correct? Kaf Hei Elul, the 25th of Elul, was when was the first day of creation. Correct? Yeah? 25th of Elul was the first day of creation. What was created on the first day of creation? Now we're getting catch you. What was created on the first day?
Light.
Oh, good. Who said that one?
Evan.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Light.
Not spiritual light, not real light.
Vayehi or. And what does Rashi say? Rashi said it wasn't right, it wasn't proper for the light to be Be'iravuvia, to be mixed up with the darkness, and therefore V'yavdel, he separated the light from the darkness, and he set it aside for the tzaddikim latid lavo, for the future. So this obviously, you know, wasn't, you know, your torch, right? I mean, you have your fluorescence, right? You have the sun. It wasn't, obviously this is a spiritual light. This spiritual light is called the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. The light which was hidden for the tzaddikim latid lavo. This is a spiritual light that the tzaddikim are going to be rewarded with in the world to come. What is this light? So like the Gemara says, in the world to come, the tzaddikim are sitting, v'atarotem aroshem, and their crowns on their heads, v'nenim miziv hashchina, and their enjoying the radiance of the glory of the Divine Presence. So obviously this light represents the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. Yeah? So that's what this light is. Now, the beginning of the creation of the world, if you've learned Chumash Rashi, so you see Rashi says everything was impregnated into the world on the first few days. And then on the sixth day when man prayed, right, everything came into fruition. So the impregnation or the pregnancy of light in the world occurred on the 25th of Elul. Now there's a concept in halacha that when a woman, right, is pregnant, you don't notice the vlad, you don't notice the child, or it's not considered noticeable to other people until 3 months pass. Then Chazal say, after 3 months, hukah ha'uba, the child is recognized. Correct? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Hukar uva. She's bigger. You see it. The world now knows she's pregnant. Some people you might know a little bit before. Some people, but by 3 months, everyone, we know that the woman's pregnant.
Is it this week's Torah portion? When tomorrow, after 3 months,
they notice? Yeah. Very good, very good. So 3 months is hukar the uva. The pregnancy is recognizable into the world. That means there's a beginning of recognition of that, of the child. So therefore, what is Hanukkah? If you count 3 months from 25th of Elul, you go Elul, Kaf Hei Tishri is 1 month, Kaf Hei Cheshvan is 2 months, Kaf Hei Kislev is 3 months. So after 3 months, you get Hukah HaVlad. That means that Vlad is recognized after 3 months. So that means the Or HaGanuz, this Or which was hidden, is now recognizable in the world on Kaf Hei Elul. So Hanukkah represents, it's Chag HaYurim, the Chag of Light, right? It's what light is, are we celebrating? What is this light that we see in our menorah? It's the light of the Divine Presence. Now, that has to be explained, right? What does that mean? What does that mean to us? Why this is what the revelation of Hanukkah is. Now we have to understand, what did the Yevanim, what did the Greeks try to destroy in Klal Yisrael? What are the things they made in Gzeri? You guys know what Gzeri they made on Klal Yisrael? Okay, let's have them. Okay.
Circumcision was prohibited.
Circumcision, they stopped Shabbos.
Eating of Torah.
learning Torah. What else? Rosh Chodesh, that we can't be Mekadesh the Chodesh, right? Based in Mekadesh the Chodesh. What else? That anyone who gets married has to have relations with the Agmon, with the governor of the city first, right?
That was for everyone.
I don't know. That was a gzera made on Jews. I don't know, right? Probably did it everyone. I don't know, but that was a gzera specifically that the rabbis say was on Hanukkah. Was the gzeras of the Yevonim. Now, what's the connection with all of these things? Now, obviously, they didn't intend to kill us. If we are mityavnim, if we became a Greek, and we accepted their way of life, they would have left us alone. There would have been no problems. That's why the Mishnah Berurah brings. That's why in Hanukkah we don't have a mitzvah of suda. We don't have a mitzvah of a meal. Like Purim, they wanted to kill us. So since it was a physical destruction, we express the celebration in a physical way through eating meals. Hanukkah was a spiritual destruction. So we don't express it in a physical way. We express it lahalel ulahodas. We express it through thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through our davening, through our praise, through halal and lahodot. And we show through the nes of the Chanukiah, whatever, we're going to get there. Right? Now, what has connected all those few things? So Torah. What's Torah? Torah is our connection with our Creator. Without Torah, you're not a Jewish people. Without Torah, what's the difference from us, from other nations? Okay, you know, we get 31%, they're saying now, of Nobel Prizes, right? You know, all the isms, you know, some Jews behind them, right? Psychology, I don't know what they're, you know, people know, you know, we're 0.04% of the world, something like that. So, you know, we're as small as we are, we're very recognized. And those 31% of people, right? Forget it. Those aren't even the people who are sitting and learning their whole lives, right? You know, you don't even count the people in yeshiva, right? If you were to count the people in yeshiva, you might get a larger percentage. Right?
The three most important people that Time magazine said were the most important in the last 2,000 years.
Okay, let's hear who they were.
Any guesses?
Well, look, 2,000 years?
2,000 years.
I don't necessarily would agree with Time magazine. You know, they're not the biggest, I don't hold them.
But what the secular world holds are the biggest.
Yeah, that's here. Wait, I don't think Time magazine is the secular world either. But okay, let's hear. Well, the American public thing. Yeah.
No, this is back in 2000.
Okay.
So you've got Albert Einstein.
Okay, all right.
Freud.
Okay.
And Yashka.
Well, they made a mistake on Yashka, but forget about the others. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? He was a, you know, oh, the base of Migdish, the family base of Migdish. I mean, there weren't any important people, like, you know, around. I mean, it did affect the world. What about Muhammad? The Arabs are going to be very annoyed. They're going to have riots now. No one's going to buy Time magazine.
What's
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
What was your connection with pregnancy? Yeah,
but we're going to get there. We're going to explain why is this. So Torah is destroying the connection between us and God, right? Between the Jewish people and their Creator. That's the way we connect. Shabbos, what's Shabbos? The whole week is a physical week, 7 days. Shabbos is a day where with Zeichel and Maisa Breishis, we remember that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. It's the way that we take the physical week and we turn it and we give it something to we count. There's day number one to the Sabbath day. Day number two, day number three. It's a count towards Shabbat, right? Why? Because all our process is towards Shabbat, to make the whole physical days into a spiritual meaning, give spiritual meaning. So Shabbos gives a time of week into spiritual meaning. Right, just as Torah gives the Jew his spiritual meaning, his connection with God, also the Sabbath day gives that connection to God. Mila, what's Mila? Mila is saying, the Yevanim said, well, look at the physicality of a person, he's complete. We say, no, a person's not complete, he needs to be completed. He needs to be removed his foreskin. The Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, what does the removal of foreskin do to a person? It removes somewhat his desires for physicality. And when you remove a person's desires for physicality, then he can more easily connect to spirituality. The Gemara says, when a person has relations with, you know, physical relations with a non-Jew or something like that. So the Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara says, his foreskin comes back. What does that mean? I mean, it doesn't come back. I mean, you know, it doesn't. But the Gemara says, it comes back. What does it mean? It means he gets disconnected. When a person does, it becomes connected to his desires in such a way that he's not in control of his desires, so he becomes disconnected from the spiritual world. It doesn't go together. You say, I can be spiritual and, you know, go after whatever I want to go after. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. You won't connect spiritually. There'll be a disconnection. The aura means, that's what aura means. Aura, you know, the tree after 3 years is called aura. What does aura mean? It means atum, closed away, disconnected. You can't use it. What is tuma? What does impurity mean? Impurity is taf, right? Tet, mem, aleph, right? Those are aleph, mem, tet is atam. To be disconnected. That's what tumah is. All tumah is some disconnection of life. A person, avi avot tumah, right, is a dead person, right? The father of tumah, the source of all tumah is death. What's death? When the person has the ability to have life, and his neshama leaves him, and there's a disconnection from expression of the neshama and his guf, that's tumah, that's avi avot tumah. All tumahs are that way, you'll find. All tumors, a nida, is someone who could have children, and now she has the inability to have children. She had the ability, it's giving life, and now that ability was taken away. She was disconnected from that ability. A woman who gives birth becomes tame because she had the ability, she held a child, she lost that ability of having life within her, right? All shichvat zera, a person sees, you know, has an issue, that had ability of giving life, it left him. All tumor, that's all the source of all tumor. It's Ramban. All tumors that. Yes?
What about a woman who's carrying twins? When she gives birth to the first, is she then tame?
Yeah, because she lost part of the... Yeah, she lost
part. Then she still has the second.
Yeah, but she lost. She had the ability of having life, giving life for two. She had life of two. Now she has life of one.
So she's not all the way tame. She still has...
No. It's the same halachas. She's the same. She's tame. She's tame. She's tame later. Yeah.
So the doctor can't help deliver the second? What does that mean?
No. It doesn't mean... Tumah v'tahara we don't have nowadays. Let me just explain the concept. We don't have to worry about these things. Yeah, well, it's May Mace nowadays. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we had Beis HaMikdash, so we were careful with these things. You want to bring a korban or whatever you want. Yeah, then we were careful. You want to eat your Ma'ase Sheni, Yerushalayim, you have to eat it Betara. Well, now this is not Nogay for us. But the concept is related to us. Now, the next thing. So we see all these things are concepts of disconnection from our spirituality. Yeah? Kiddush HaChodesh. What's Kiddush HaChodesh? Being sanctifying the month. What is that? That was the first mitzvah the Jewish people were given. Because the Jewish people, through the sanctification of the month, right, decide, have an influence on how the calendar is going to be affected. If we decide, based in decide, this is going to be Rosh Chodesh, this is Rosh Chodesh. You understand? It's the Jewish people's. Why is it the moon? Because the moon's the reflection of the sun. The Jewish people, kivyochol, are the reflection of God's will in this world. And we decide, we have the decision process to express God's will in the world. So it's also a form of our expression in the time frame of the physical world. That's what Rosh Chodesh is. Also, in a concept of connection. What's Kiddushin? Goyim, non-Jews do not have Kiddushin. The Rambam says that a non-Jew, how does a non-Jew get married? He finds a girl and he lives with her. That's marriage. When they divorce, what's divorce? They don't live with each other. Jews don't do that. Jews have a concept called Kiddushin. Kiddushin means holiness. What does holiness mean? You have to do a process which is called Kiddushin into marry a woman. You have to do a separation called get into to sever that connection. Why is that? Because the connection with your wife is a very holy process. It's like your connection with God. There's three, we spoke about these in the Shurim. There's three aspects to man which are called wife. Your connection with God, your connection with your wife, and you know, that comes out to your friends and people around you, and your connection with self, your neshama. Those are three aspects of man. All of those things are called his wife. Right? And they require kiddushin, they require holiness, they require proper connection. So what did they do? The Gemara says, how does a person bind to his wife? So the Gemara says, it's Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara says that the Bia Rishona, the first time they have relations, right, he makes it into a vessel for having children. But the Gemara says, and therefore she clings to him. That's what the Gemara says. So they wanted to destroy that connection, that between the Jewish family. They wanted to sever it, that proper connection. You understand? So that's why they had relations first. So that connection would be severed in some way. So all of these things are there for what? All these gzeiros of the Yevonim, they weren't stupid people. To sever the connection, or in terms of our relationships with our family, or in terms of our influence in our time, or into our bodies, so that to sever that, to disconnect us spiritually. That was what Yavam was all about. Now, what is Greek philosophy? They had Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. There are lots of... All Western ideology comes from Greek. I mean, psychology, even using the same words, the Greek words. The world we live in is a Greek world. I mean, it's funny. 3 years ago, I've forgotten now what it was. I was going to England, and we could only go through England. We had to go through Greece. And it's actually, we were going through Greece. It was on Hanukkah. So like, you know, I said, you know, Hanukkah, you're in Greece, right? So they're like, okay, let's see what these Yevonim are like, you know? like, they didn't look like, you know, they didn't look like, where's the Platos here? Where's the Aristotles here? It was like, what happened to them? You know, it's like dead, there's nothing here. Apart from, you know, checking, they didn't have any, like, you know, stuff there, but like, they didn't look like particularly clever people. There's no Greeks anymore. It's a concept. Jewish people is a concept we also still around. There's everyone that tried to destroy us were and finished, but we're still around. We're still fighting, we're still doing the same things we did years ago. Tefillin looks the same. Our Sefer Torah is the same. The way we daven is the same from the time of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. We didn't change anything. I mean, you know, the way we look might be different, right? Even that we try and keep. But, you know, but that's not so, you know. Maybe I should be wearing a turban or something, right? But, right? But you understand what I'm saying? We don't change. We still have the same values. That's an amazing thing if you think about it. How such a small nation, 0.04% of the population, still around after massive civilizations try to destroy us, and we still remained. And we still remain and have such a massive influence on the world. That's a tremendous thing. Just thinking about that, you have to understand. It says Darshani. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. You know, even the authors, Mark Twain, right? I mean, people who didn't even like Jews, right? But they recognize what we were, what we are. What are we supposed to be doing? Our purpose in this world is to connect the world, the physical world, to our Creator. That's our fight with Yavan. And that's our fight in Western society, because Western society is still Yavan. The influence of Yavan is still today. How do we fight that? What's Western society say? Or Yavan say? What do they say? The physicality, what you see and what you perceive is what there is. Beyond that, nothing else exists. What you can deduct through deduce from deduction or from logic, okay. But what you can't does not exist. How did Hanukkah, how did we fight Yavan? What was our fight? Now remember we said, we're going back now. We said that Hanukkah represents the time that the Or HaGanuz, this hidden light, was revealed. The Chasam Sofer says a very interesting thing. What is this Or HaGanuz? This Or HaGanuz is the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. The way Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's his Malchus, it's his kingship. The way Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses himself in this world. Hanukkah was the revelation of Teres HaSod. Hanukkah was the revelation, right, of Oro Shel Mashiach, the light of Mashiach. That's what Teres HaSod is. Teres HaKabbalah. What is Teres HaKabbalah? You guys, you know what I'm talking about? You heard what this is? Don't know what Teresa Kabbalah is? Kabbalah, you've heard? Everyone's heard of Kabbalah Center, you know, and Madonna, right? Yeah, believe me, it's not that. But what is Teres HaKabbalah? What is that? What is Kabbalah? Kabbalah is understanding the way the Kodesh Baruch Hu interacts with the world, the metaphysics of the world. Just as there's physics, there's metaphysics. How the Kodesh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. Now that can't be empirically tested. You can see its effects. You can see the effects if you believe you have a neshama. So you can say, you know, you can understand maybe people in terms of models. But that's not something that you can know a priori or know the rules there. That's you can't know them through logic. That's something you have to be given over through Kabbalah, from Moshe Rabbeinu from Sinai, ish mipi ish. Was given down, Teres HaKabbalah. Hanukkah was the time that it was first revealed, was the revelation, because then it was Hukah HaUba. Then the Uba, the fetus, was recognized. And now, in this world, which is the world, right? It's not the world for the Or HaGanuz. This isn't the world where we're going to see that divine presence being revealed. But it's Hukah, it's recognized a little bit. The pregnancy for that fetus is in the world to come. When Tzadikim sit v'atarotena roshem. How did this fight the Yevonim? How did this fight the Yevonim?
How is that? How does the Hanukkah was when the fetus was recognized, right?
Because we said that on Kaf Hei Elul was created, was the first day of creation, was created light. That's how we start off. It's the Or HaGanuz, which was created on the first day of creation. It was set aside for Tzadikim Latid Lavot. Rashi says, it's a Midrash, right?
Okay. And then
3 months later, that was the pregnancy of the world. Right. 3 months later, after pregnancy, there's 3 months where the child is recognized. After 3 months of pregnancy, the child's considered Hukah HaUba. It's Elosh in the Gemara. The child is recognized. 3 months after Kafei Elul comes Kafei Kislev. That's Hanukkah. Right, it's 3 months after Kafei Elul. That's Hanukkah, that's the first time. Okay. So now, how does this fight Yavan? The Gemara says, Chochma v'goyim, wisdom in the goyim, ta'amin, believe. Torah v'goyim, Torah, the goyim have Torah, al ta'amin, don't believe. What does that mean? They have Chochma. They have psychology, philosophy, right? They have all the fees, right? They have all of them. Mathematics, they have it. Chochmah begoyim ta'amin. You can learn from them. It's Chochmah. Torah begoyim, al ta'amin. What's the difference between Chochmah and Torah? So I'll tell you a story. It's a story, look, I don't know, you know, this is what I've heard, this story. But it's a story of Aristotle. I think it's a famous story that's said about Aristotle. The Rambam said about Aristotle that he reached, in terms of his Chochmah, it was unbelievable who he was in terms of what he reached, in terms of understanding. But he was once found in a place where, you know, none of us should be, right? And it's not good for Yeshiva boys to be there, right? Or anyone, right? But you know what I'm saying?
Ben Yehuda.
Not Ben Yehuda. Right? Ben Yehuda is a lot better than what I'm thinking about, but, right? But if you extrapolate a lot, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So he's found. So his students asked him, Aristotle, you're the one who taught us all this and you're doing action like animals do? So he says, Now I'm not Aristotle. You understand what that means? My actions don't have any connection to what I think.
Do as I say, not as I do?
Huh?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, that's, you can say more simply. Now, where's Merumas in the Torah? This, that's what Chochmah. The Goyim have Chochmah, but do they live according to that Chochmah? So, Esav, right? You know, you'll find in the world, there's lots of people who speak about peace and freedom of rights and all sorts of things. And you check up on the, you know, they believe in peace. What about in their houses, there's peace? What about with their neighbors, there's peace? What about with their friends, there's peace? Judaism sees peace differently. You don't try to make peace in the world, you know. The Nobel Peace Prize, who got it this year, right? You know, he made a nice speech. I don't know how much peace he made, but okay, you know, it can happen. It's crazy. The world speaks about love and care and, you know, where is it on an individual? We have 60% divorce rate. If they're so loving and so caring, they can't be that with their wives and kids. That's what it means, chokhmah begoyim. Wisdom they have, but comes lemaisa, Torah al tamim. And the remez in Chazal, there's a midrash, that when Esav came to, when they were coming to bury Yaakov, you probably learned this. Not yet. When they came to bury Yaakov, you'll learn it later, in Vayechi. Came to bury Yaakov. So what happened? Esav came to, you know, to prevent the burial. So Chushin ben Dan, you know, came and just chopped off his head. And Chazal tells us the head rolled into the Maarat Machpelah and is buried there. So when you go daven in the Maarat Machpelah, you can also daven to Esav if you want. Right? But you can also, his head's there, right? That's what Chazal say. What is Chazal telling us this story? You know, it's like, you know, nice story to tell the kids when they go to bed. You know, like, what do you need this for, right? Chushin ben Dan. He couldn't hear. He was a cheresh. He couldn't hear. So he just saw the argument. He just went and finished off the problem, right? That's what Chazal tells us. That's a Chazal. It's a midrash. But why are Chazal telling us something? You have to understand, midrashim are not there to tell you. For kids, they're nice stories. But when you get a little older, you realize that Chazal's there to teach you a piece of Torah. What Torah is it teaching us? What Torah is it teaching us? Every piece of Chazal is this way. Every piece of Chazal. So, what Torah? It's telling us that the head of Esav was shaykh to the Avos. Esav's head was, that's the place it should be buried. It was shaykh to the Avos. But not his guf. Because there was no connection from to his head to his guf, to his thinking, to his actions. That's chokhmah begoyim ta'amin. They have wisdom. Torah begoyim, what's Torah? Torah is when you live according to what you think. It's a living Torah. Like Ari Kaplan, he doesn't translate the Torah as Torah. He translates it as a living Torah. That's a proper translation. It's something Shaya. You live. Huh?
Shaya.
Related to your action. Shaykh is related. Your thinking has to relate to your action. Your thinking has to be expressed in your action. If your thinking is just thinking, it doesn't create expression, proper expression. So that's not Torah, that's Chochmah. We all have that problem of Chochmah. We have a Yetzirah wants to disconnect us from my expression. I'm sure with Rabbi Gershwin we learned about Das. What's Das? Das is the ability to be creative. We spoke about this last week. The ability to be creative in expressing your Chochmah. There's many people who are wise people in the world. You find lots of wise people in the world who have great ideas. But when you check in on them, you know, like all these presidents and all these things, right? Then 10 years later they write to you about what was really happening in their lives, right? It's different with rabbis. It's different with big tzaddikim. You get these books, Aryeh Levin, right? He was a tzaddik. People did tzaddik in his time, right? People didn't like know. Everyone knew he was a tzaddik, but no one knew every little thing he did. Then all of a sudden, when the person dies, and this one says about it, and this one says about it, and you hear these little things. There's one very big tzaddik in our generation, that's Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, right? Now, we have to understand this. Obviously, it's hard for us to understand this. You know, anyone who's married realizes that you argue with your wife. Right? That's one of the things you do in marriage, right? That happens. It's normal. It's natural, right? Difference of opinion, right? You're living with the same person the whole time, right? Before you're married, you know, you go out with her once, twice a week, right? You go for a nice meal. What's that to argue about, right? But when you're home and you're the kids and the stress and the thing, it's normal. It's natural. You have difference of opinions, difference of things. You know, and it's the minhag when, you know, he was an old man and his wife died. The minhag is that you ask for forgiveness at the graveyard. You ask forgiveness from your wife. That's the minhag. So came time for him to ask forgiveness for his wife. So he said, I have nothing to forgive her, because you forgive her as well, and I have nothing for her to forgive me. She never did anything against me, and I never did anything against her. Could we say that? He wasn't lying. This is not a person who would lie. He didn't need the covered either. He wasn't doing it for covered. Rosh Hashanah on Arbach. It's a famous story. Right? Now, what does that mean? You think he never argued with his wife? You think they have never had difference of opinions? If you think that, you're an idiot. Of course they have difference of opinions. You're not married. One of the two. Probably both could be true as well. Right? Of course you have difference. Someone you're living with the whole time, of course you have difference of opinions. But how do you voice those opinions? Is it a discussion or is it an argument? When he had difference of opinions, it was a discussion. Because I know my Rosh Yeshiva, who was his son, told us a story that when he got married, so the condition was that he was going to sit and learn for the rest of his life. At the age of 25, he wrote a very, very, very important book. Right, 25, you know, a very important book on certain halachas. And he was also, you know, the Chazon Ish was a big person at the time. And then you've heard of Chazon Ish, probably. If you learned Bona, you must have heard of Chazon Ish, right? You haven't heard of Chazon Ish?
You've heard of him,
not from. Okay, so he said he would had a certain thing. He was arguing Chazon Ish about chashmal, about electricity, if it's a melacha of Bona or not. He was a young man when he had that. So obviously he was a very special person. He was a genius, a very special person. They expected he was going to be a big rabbi. So he married a woman who said that she wanted to dedicate her life, that he would sit and learn for the rest of his life. So when he became a little older, he was offered a job to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah. You've heard of it? It's a big yeshiva in Jerusalem. Big yeshiva. He was offered the job to be a Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah.
A Rosh Yeshiva is not to the learning?
One second. So his wife, right, told him, came up to him, she was annoyed. She said, you promised me when we got married that you're going to be learning for the rest of your life. How come you're going to take, you're taking a job? So he had to explain to her, teaching Talmidim is also learning. Teaching students is also learning. That was a chiddush for her. So he didn't argue about it. He explained himself. You understand? We have to understand what that means, because she wasn't a simple woman. She knew. There's a difference when you teach. You don't learn as much when you teach. Right?
Yeah, there's this. More.
You can learn more, but you have to understand what learning, when you're learning by yourself, you can learn more. When you teach, you express what you learn. So it's important, because when you express what you learn, sometimes you don't even know what you know. Right? When you express it, the students ask you questions and you give answers, sometimes you didn't have those answers before. They weren't in your mind. Then you become creative. You're expressing more das. So you're right, you do learn more. Mitalmidai mikulam, the Mishnah says. You learn more from your Talmidim than anyone else. So you're right, because when you come up with different questions and different problems that you never thought before, you use the source of your information, you become creative to express it. So you're right. But that's what he had to explain. And then she accepted that. Now let's go back to where we were. Because we get off the point a little bit. Let's get back. So now how did this expression of showing the metaphysics, how the world works, Kabbalah Satorah, right? Kabbalah, right? How did this remove Chochmas Yavan? The wisdom, the Chochmah. Chochmah begoyim ta'amin. Torah begoyim ma'al ta'amin. This is a special type of Torah. When someone comes up to you, and he tells you that what you see is what there is. Physicality in the world, that's what there is. The beauty of the body, the beauty of the mind, the beauty of thinking, the deductive process, what you get through this deduction, that's the reality. Now, you're coming and telling there's a metaphysical world. The world, the physical world is just like the goof, the physicality behind the metaphysics. It's Pnimius HaTorah. Chochmas Yavan was Chitzonius HaTorah. It was the outer expression. That's wisdom. But when you give to that wisdom something Pnimi, something deeper, something which shows why we are the way we are, and why we have to have a Mila, Brit Mila, to connect our bodies to the metaphysical, why we need a Shabbos day to connect the physical world, why we need a Rosh Chodesh, that we are the influence in the world. Why we need the Torah to connect to our Creator. Why we have a special thing called marriage. Because we're not connecting like two physical people. We're connecting in a holy way. Kiddushin. The Ramban says that the Kruvim, you know what the Kruvim are? You know the Aaron? You know what the Aaron is? Yeah? You know this Kruvim, the cherubim on top of the Aaron. What were they? The Ramban says, don't tell this to simple people. They won't understand you. It was a boy and a girl. And when there was proper connection between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, they were together like a man and a woman. The Kruvim used to move. It was a nace. It used to be together like a man and a woman. Now, we wouldn't do that here, the yeshiva. You wouldn't put like a boy and a girl, right? That wouldn't be sneeristic, right? Because we don't understand these things. But that's what it was on the Aron HaKodesh. Because that's what real proper connection is. It's kiddushin, it's holiness. Our connection with our Creator is the same way. It's not a connection of animals. It's a connection of minds. It's just a physical expression of something higher. You understand? They wanted to remove also that connection. That's what Pnimiyus HaTorah is. Pnimiyus HaTorah is having that proper connection of the physical, really arising. The physical is just an outer klipa, an outer shell of a pre inside, of something deeper, something more inner, something more to understand the physical world. That's why the rabbis, what do the rabbis call? You know, you heard of gematrias? Yeah. Gematrias means now that this word has the same numerical value as this word. And it has a Hebrew word. In Hebrew, it's called cheshbon. Gematria, what language is gematria? It's Greek, geometry, right? Gematria is a Greek word. Why did the rabbi change a Hebrew word and give it a Greek word? What's a gematria? Gematria is a gematria by itself. This word has the same, you have some rabbis there. This word has the same value as this. And this word has the same value as this. Therefore, this. You know? It doesn't make any sense. Gematria in of itself is nonsensical.
What is the
Hebrew word? Cheshbon means numerical value. To take the cheshbon of something, you go to my colleague, say, what's the cheshbon? What's the numerical amount I have to pay at the end, the numerical value. So why did the rabbis pick a Greek word? We don't use it. We don't. You ever said the cheshbon of this? The cheshbon. You never heard a rabbi say that. You ever heard a rabbi say gematrias, right? Why is it a Greek word? I mean, we fought the oven. We could use Greek words. Right? We're going to bring in the oven? Because that's the pshat. Chochma tamim. There's chochma in the goyim. You can go learn it. It can even help you understand the Torah. But you have to know that it's an outside shell. You have to understand that yoven is like a gematria. This word is the same as this word, but it's meaningless in of itself. Unless you understand the depths behind it, why those two words are connected. What's the deep meaning behind that? When you give pnimius, when you give an inner depth to an outside chokhmah, then you can see depth in the Torah. You can see the metaphysical coming in expression in the physical. You understand? Just in the word. That's why the rabbis did that. To show us that Yavan, we don't fight Yavan in the same way. We fight Yavan in the way that we show that what they say is just the outer shell. There's an inner depth. And when you understand the inner depth, then Yavan and Chochmat Chitzonius, the outer wisdom, becomes deep and meaningful. You can learn psychology. You can learn physics. You can learn mathematics. There's no steer between any of those subjects to the Torah. There's no steer between, you know, all these things, you know, you'll hear different opinions about lots of things, evolution, whatever. The Torah is not speaking about the physical world. The Torah is speaking about the metaphysical world. There's no contradiction between Torah and science. You understand? But science, the Torah will give a depth to understanding of what the metaphysical world, a depth to understanding what character is about. A depth of understanding, you know. Apparently Jung learned his character people from Kabbalah. I don't know if he learned it properly, but he learned it. Because if you really want to understand, the Chazal tell us that the way that a Kodesh Baruch Hu connects to the physical world is the same way the neshama connects to the guf. So if you understand, and if you understand the way a Kodesh Baruch connects, you also understand the way your neshama connects to your physical guf. You have an understanding of man's psychology. That's why, with the introduction of the Arizal and the Kabbalah, you have an understanding of the Zohar. Before the Arizal, we didn't fully understand the Zohar. When the Arizal came, explained to us the Zohar, began a deeper understanding of character. He was the first person who had this concept of Chochmas HaParzuf. He could read a person and tell them who they were. That came from his understanding of Kabbalah. Jewish psychology started from there. We don't have Jewish psychology. It's not called Jewish psychology. Because we do it in order to become better human beings. Not in order to manipulate people to buy another packet of cigarettes or whatever. Right? We're not learning. We're learning that in order to improve our midas. In order to become better people. In order that Torah will be expressed in us and not Chochmah. You understand what I'm saying? That was the fight of Yavin. That's what Chanukah. Now why is it represented in the menorah? It was a fight. They fought the Greeks. It was a war. We should you should have an Independence Day. We should have a barbecue, right? A Thanksgiving. Whatever we should have. We should have something like that, right? The only barbecue we have is a Korban Pesach. Maybe that's the Makor for all the barbecues. You know, the birth of the nation, right? I don't know. Maybe they got it from there. I don't know where they got it from. Okay? But why in the menorah? What does the menorah represent? So the Gemara says that then when the Kohen Gadol, and why were the Kohen Gadol? What's a Kohen first? A Kohen, right? What's a Kohen do? What's the purpose of a Kohen? So Gemara says, so is a Kohen Shluchei Didan? Is it a Shliach of us, a messenger of us, or Shluchei Derachmana, or Shliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? What is a Kohen does? He takes a physical object, a korban, a sacrifice, an animal. He shechts it, and he offers it to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? He makes that physical a korban's loshon karov, to make someone who is far away close. Right? So we did an aveira, we need to bring a korban, or a ritzu, an ola, to be mefayet to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Who does that, the Kohen? He has the ability to turn something which is physical into something which is metaphysical. The connection of the physical world to the metaphysical world, that occurs in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the work of a Kohen. So it makes sense that the fight against Yavon was with that person who connects the physical world to the metaphysical world. Correct? What's the menorah represent? The Gemara says the menorah was lit first on the western side. And when the next day they came and they saw that menorah, and to relight it, the western flame which was lit first was still alight and the other flames weren't. And that was a nace that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And what was that nace to show us? Because western side represents the side of the divine presence. To show us that Shechina Shora B'Klal Yisrael, that the divine presence rests in Klal Yisrael. So the menorah represents the resting of that divine presence. It's a connection. Now why the menorah? Why not the Aaron? Because the menorah has seven branches. Yes? It's three on each side, not like, and one in the middle, seven branches. Seven represents seven is physicality. I'm sure you heard the Maharal. Seven represents 7 days of the week, the cycles. Seven cycles of seven, the Shemitah year, and then the Jubilee, right? And then the 50th, or same similar with Shavuos, you have 7 weeks, and then you have the 50th, which is beyond physicality, which is Matan Torah, right? But seven represents the physical cycle. The menorah also was against the Shulchan. The Shulchan represents Malchus, it represents Torah with Derech Eretz. Torah with work, yes? It represents the involvement in the physical world. That connection, that even when a person's involved in the physical world, Shechina Shore, the divine presence rests. There's a pnimius, there's an inner depth. That was the nace of the menorah. So what was the nace of Hanukkah? That when we lit that menorah, it lasted for 8 days. Why eight? That's why we have eight branches on a Hanukkah, right? Why is it 8 days? Because eight, the Maharal explains, eight is one more than physical, right? It's going into the metaphysical. It's going into forever. The nace of Hanukkah is that menorah which represents the divine presence will never leave Klal Yisrael. That's the promise of Hanukkah. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the nace that was represent in a battle with the Yevonim, that nace occurred with the menorah. Because that's what the menorah represents. The connection of the physical to the metaphysical worlds. And therefore the nace was there. And the nace was dafka with the Kohanim. The fighting was dafka with the Kohanim. Because they represent the people who connect the physical to the metaphysical world. You understand? That's the fight in Hanukkah. Now, menorah, where was that? Lit inside the Beis HaMikdash. No one put a menorah outside in the streets. So why we light a Chanukiah outside? Shulchan Aruch says you light outside. Now there's a question. Ikar halachos bifnim, what you do in yeshivas, forget the halacha for the moment, right? But the din of the Gemara is the Chanukiah was lit outside. Why is the Chanukiah lit outside? And there's a connection between the Chanukiah and Ner Shabbos. What's Ner Shabbos? It's the same part of the Gemara. You learn about the Chanukiah and you learn about the Ner Shabbos. What's the connection? So the Gemara says, the Midrash says, you've learned this in Chumash Rashi, that when Sarah died, so there wasn't Brocha in the Isa, there wasn't Anan, and there wasn't a Ner Dolek in her Oel, in her tent. When Rivka came, all those three things came back. What's this Ner Dolek? You know, they needed electric lights in the house. You know, what's this Ner Dolek? What's this Ner Dolek? The Ner Dolek represents the divine presence. That's Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos represents the divine presence. How does Ner Shabbos represent the divine presence? What does that mean? So the Gemara says as follows. Why do we light Ner Shabbos? We light it for Onik Shabbos, for Kavod Shabbos, whatever it is. But there's another reason, the Gemara says. If anyone has to leave, they can leave. There's another reason what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Shelo yikashel beitim v'avanim. You have lighting, you won't stumble on a Shabbos day. And the Gemara says, someone who's mehadeh, who lights candles with Shemen Zai, I see all you guys are buying this Shemen Zai, right? Will have children, good children, Talmidei Chachamim. What's it to do with their Shabbos, having nice lights? The Gemara says, if you have a clear olive light, because you can have lights which are dim or which are flickering, right? What happens if you have dim lights are flickering? So people can stumble. When people can stumble, so there can be tension in the house. If you have a clear and bright light, when all the family's together, right? So there's a tranquil and calm atmosphere. When you have a tranquil and calm atmosphere in the house, Shechina Shore, the divine presence is there. Ish v'isha, you've heard this, you know, the Ish v'isha, Yud Kei B'nehem, Shechina B'nehem, you have Ish v'isha. You take the divine presence away, Eish, fighting, fire. The Gro says, so you have the Yudke. Where do you get the Vavke? The name of Hashem is Yudke Vavke. Yes? You understand what I'm saying? Where's the Vavke? He says, that's in Ksuva. Ksuva is a shtar, is a document that you give to your wife when you get married in Chuppah. You know, Bezal Hashem, you'll get there sometime. Right? So the Ksuva, it shouldn't be called a Ksuva. It should be called a Ktav. It should be a written document. Why is it called Ksuva? An extra Vav, an extra Hey. The Gro says, the Vavke is in the Ksuva. Because that's you when you're living with your wife. So then you have the Yud Kei Vav Kei. You understand? Kiddushin, Ki Yikach Ish Isha, right? That's the Yud Kei. And the Ksuva, the Chuppah, is the Vav Kei. That's when you actually live with your wife. So the whole divine presence comes with that. You understand? Now, how do we get onto that? We were on the. Where are you going to that? The light of Shabbos. So. The Gemara also says, so the Chanukiah, the light of Shabbos is the light which represents that divine presence. And that's the menorah. That's why now we take this Shabbos light and we put it in the streets. Because Hanukkah is the time where that Or HaGanuz comes out into the world. It permeates everywhere. And what does that light do? What did we say in the beginning? What is the first Rashi says? It's not right. It's not fitting for that light to be mixed up with darkness. What are we doing? We're putting into the darkness. So we keep it for the tzaddikim latid lavo. But when it was created, it was created in Erbuvia, with the darkness. Why did God create it with the darkness? What was the purpose of the creation with the darkness? There must have been a reason for it. He changed his mind and then set it aside? No. That light was supposed to lighten the darkness. A Rishus HaRabim. What's the difference between a public thoroughfare and a private thoroughfare? A private thoroughfare, you meet all the guys that you want to meet. They're your friends that you call to your house. Guys you don't want to meet in your house, you don't invite them. When you go in the streets, you meet all sorts of people. So if you go to Harlem or anywhere like that, right? You meet all sorts of people there, right? The Gemara says, when do you light a Chanukah light? Ad shetich l'regel min ashuk. What? What's this regular shuk? The people bring up the eights in the Talmudai. These were the psule kahal, the Gemara Nivams. If they were people who weren't kosher, not kosher people, kosher yidden, they weren't fitting to marry regular Jews. Even for them, you have to light the Chanukiah, because the light of the Chanukiah brings the divine presence to the lower places in the world, and it brings them back. This irbuvia with choshech. What's this aura of Mashiach? What's Mashiach supposed to do? Mashiach, the Rambam says, he's supposed to bring the people back and build Beis HaMikdash. That's what Mashiach is supposed to do. This Or HaGanuz is the Or of Mashiach. It's the Or. I'm not a Chabadnik. It's the Or, right? It's the Or which is going to bring the people back. That's why we light our Chanukiahs outside. It's a tremendous light. That's why it says, the Chanukiah, we can't benefit from its light. We can't benefit from its light. But we're allowed to see it. We're allowed to enjoy that Ora Ganuz. That's why we light our Chanukiah outside. Because that light, when it's mixed up with darkness, it's going to bring back even those people from those darkest places. And they're going to come back to our reality. To the reality of seeing the proper world. When you're in the outside world, all there is, the Gemara says, from in the Psukim of, where do we learn? Where's the Makor for the Arba, for the four types of Goliath? Yavan was one of the Goliaths. It says, Choshech, darkness, Zu Yavan. This is the Greeks. The light of Hanukkah is supposed to give light to the darkness of the Greeks. When we go back, right? We're going to get back to the world that what you see is what reality is. Oh, they brainwash you in yeshiva. They tell you all sorts of things, right? It's not real reality. You can't go get a job, get up, 9 to 5, you know, make a buck, right? Make a living, right? Come home, watch a few baseball games, right? It's important how they throw. It's a spin, or if it's a direct throw. I learned that today, right? Yeah, it's a whole chachma, right? Right? Spend your time, have a good meal, enjoy life. Enjoy. Without any depth, without any thinking where your life's going, without giving depth and meaning to your life. That's life. That's the darkness of the Western world that we live in. That's why we need the light of Hanukkah, to give depth to our life, to give meaning, that we don't forget that. We don't get enwrapped when we go out into the Rishus HaRabim, when we go out into the world. We need to take our Ner Hanukkah with us to give meaning and depth to our life, and not to forget that. The Shekhinah Shore B'Klal Yisrael. The name Yehudi comes from Yehuda. What's Yehuda? What's the word Yehuda?
Thanks.
Yud, yeah, to Lehodot. But if you look at the word, it's Yud K Vav Dalet K, right? It's the Shem Hashem. So what's the Dalet? So it's explained in Chazal. The Dalet represents Malchus. Yehuda represents Malchus, right? Kingship, yeah? What's Malchus? Malchus doesn't have anything of itself. Dalet Vaniyah. She's like, she's poor. She doesn't have anything from herself. Malchus is Mekabel from all what's above her, right? And she's the full expressor. That's a woman. She's the expressor. She's the Malchus. The king is the expressor of God's will in the world. That's what a real Jewish king should be, right? The Dalet is against the Dalet V'Aniyah. Yehuda was supposed to have the ability, and that's what he did in his life, to change that Dal in him. Right? He went from a low place He went to a higher place by his hoda'ah. Hoda'ah means you connect to a higher place. That's what hoda'ah means. Lahalel hodot. Now we're coming back to lahalel hodot. The whole purpose of Chanukah is lahalel hodot, to change that dalet into a hey. That God's malchus, which is Mashiach, will be expressed in those lower places. That's what a Yehudi is. A Yehudi is Shem Havaya, where the expressions of God's name in the world.
What's the dalet?
The dalet, you have Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that in Yehudi, you just have a dalet and a hey. You have to convert that dalet.
Which means
change the malchus into hey. Heylecha. Hey means heylech, means express.
The dalet is changed.
Change into a hey, and then you get God's name from the word Yehuda. That's a Jew. That's what we call Yehudin. Yehuda, our shame Yehuda. That's our purpose, to change that dalet. How do you do that? By a Yud. That a Yud gets expressed in God's name. That final Yud. The dalet and the Yud is a hey. You understand? Yavan, what does Yavan represent? Yavan is Yud, Vav, Nun. Takes the Yud, the Machshava, expressed into a Vav, and goes all the way down. It takes Chochmah and expresses it in physicality. We take a Chochmah and we express it and it becomes God's name. Our wisdom is Torah. Our wisdom is to express God's name in the world, to give meaning to the physical world, to give metaphysics to the physical world, and be expressive of it, and live according to that. That's the nes of Chanukah. And that's why we rely on a menorah. You understand? Okay? Alright, questions?
Sorry, is it converting the dalet to hay when they give you two hays at the
end? No, because it's written in that way, right? So that we understand that dalet has to change into a hay. You understand?
Okay.
Yeah. We're replacing the dalet with a hay.
Okay.
There's two, yeah. Okay.
Can you repeat what you said about two things? Menorah is lit on the western side.
Yeah.
How the western side relates to Jewish people. And
no, western side represents, that's the place where the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is.
Well,
on the western side. Yeah, in the base of
Midrash. Represents the Shekhinah.
Yeah, because there was a nace. The nace was that on the western side, this is Gemara, it's Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara says that the menorah was first lit from the western side, and the next day that was the last light when there was still a light. So it was the first one lit, and the other lights, they had the same amount of oil in them,
right?
And that was, that same light was on the next day, right? That was a nace. What was a nace to present? What was this, that nace supposed to present to the Jewish people? That the divine presence, which was on the western side, was always with the Jewish people.
Okay, and it's the menorah rather than the ark or the
Shulchan. Yeah, the menorah represents that. Because the menorah represents
seven
has seven branches, represents seven, right, aspects of physicality.
Specifically the menorah.
Yeah.
It gives light.
Yeah. It represents, that's why it's brought in the by the Imahot, they had a Ner Dolek. That represents the divine presence being in Klal Yisrael. Because the menorah represents the physical world. Like I said, the Shulchan, the table of the Lechem Apanim was against the menorah. The menorah was here and the Shulchan was here. It was Mul HaShulchan. The menorah represents involvement in the physical world, the way the Torah is involved in the physical world. The Aaron is Kulo Torah. It's Keter Torah. It means only involvement in spirituality. The menorah represents involvement in spirituality with physicality, because it's against the Shulchan. So that's the place where the divine presence is represented, right? Why is it represented there, the Nath? Because the purpose of the divine presence is to be expressed in the physical world. Of course a person should be learning and should be an Aaron, right? But he should be then expressive of his Torah in the physical world, which is the menorah and the Shulchan. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Couple questions. What's the Greek motivation for snuffing out our metaphysics and for not believing in metaphysics? Why are they so against us having, you know, these super physical beliefs?
Because they're fighting against the Torah. That's what that's their hashkafa. That's their whole, how you say, their whole that's what Greek.
No, but why?
Huh?
Why?
Why? In what sense? Why?
Or what's their motivation? Why? What is it about metaphysics that they can't handle?
They don't believe in it. They believe, the Maharal says, if you ask, is there a remes? The Maharal says that there's three types of people. Four types of people. And he learns it from the Pasuk, when we see with when Avram Avinu went in Har Moriah, right? Went to sacrifice Yitzchak. So he said, Shuvu po, he spoke to Eliezer, and Yishmael, Shuvu po, Imachoma, with the donkey. So it says, so the Chazal say, Im ha-dome lechamo. Who was dome lechamo? Canaan was dome lechamo. And Yishmael was the chamo himself, was the donkey himself. Because chamo, why is Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim, the pasuk for Mitzrayim is, Aseh b'saram, b'sar chamorim. No. V'zirmatam, zirmat susim. Mitzrayim represents physicality in the world, right? That's Yishmael. Yishmael came from Chagah, who was from Mitzrayim. So it's Pera Adam. There's an Ibn Ezra. Pera, what is Pera Adam? You normally say, you should really call Yishmael Adam Pera. He's a person who is a Pera. So Pera Adam, Adam is an adjective to Pera. That means Yishmael intrinsically is a Pera. What does Pera mean? Pera means the bird is a newborn donkey. Adam was Avram, was called an Adam, right? When the Chibur of Hagar with Avram, intrinsically, Yishmael was a Pera who had the tzura of a man, a form of a man. So he did have some sort of a man. That's why Yishmael is so misukan, is so dangerous, because he does have, with that Pera, Adam. That's what gives him a koach, right? But he represents physicality. Then you have Eliezer, which is Canaan. Right? That represents, right? Hadome lechamo. Dome lechamo is, the Maharal explains, there's Chome, which is Mitzrayim. Then there's Chome and Tzura. Physicality and, like, I suppose spirituality. Tzura is form. If the Tzura, the form, is subjugated to the physicality, that's Canaan. That means the whole purpose of your intellect is to create, make the physical world a better place. That's Canaan. That's the Western world. Then, these are concepts. Obviously, Canaan didn't, you know, Canaan was in Eretz Yisrael, but whatever was in Eretz Yisrael, you have to understand, I'm going to explain, whatever's in Eretz Yisrael, the seven umot in Eretz Yisrael represent seven aspects of the nations. They were the head, the 70 nations, this is a grow, the 70 nations. The heads of those 70 nations were the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael. And Amalek was the crowning of those nations. Now there's another thing. Amalek, what does Amalek represent? Amalek is Surah, but form. But what does that form? The form of Amalek is that all there is the physical world. It's a complete disconnection from the spiritual. What is Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael is the taking of the physical world and mishabed the physical to the Tzurah. So the Greek theology, right, in terms of those concepts, it was a concept in terms of the type of people they were represent. Those are the four forms that you have in the world. And that's what they represented. Why they did that, I don't know, right? But that represents the fight, the Klal Yisrael. The Makor in Chumash, in terms of that sort of the emancipation, you know, they opened the doors to university. That's in last week's parsha, when Esav, when he just left Yaakov, first there's a fight with Esav. You can fight, you might be fighting with Esav. But then at the end, when Esav, what did Esav tell Yaakov? Come with me. That's also dangerous. What did Yaakov say? No, because of the flock and the children, they'll be affected on the way. That's the emancipation. When Esav opens his doors to us and say, be like us, that's Yavon. That started with Yavon. You understand?
Assimilation.
Yeah, that's assimilation. That's danger to Klal Yisrael. That's in a certain way a bigger danger. Because we don't realize how dangerous it is.
Why is that wisdom so tempting?
Right, and why do Chazal want us to take the wisdom of Yavon and integrate it?
Yeah, okay.
It's very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
The Torah is so compelling. Why is the wisdom of Yavon?
The Gemara doesn't say go learn Chochmas Yavon. It just says that if you're learning Chochmas Yavon, the way to convert that into Torah is only if you understand there's a metaphysical world and you see the depth in order to see the Chochmah Chitzonius has a depth, has an expression, has something deeper to it. You don't learn it as in of itself. You know, we live in a world which is a very empirical world where you see, you know, there's, you know, even forget about even the, you know, the people, the philosophers of the world even discuss these things. That the world, through the Industrial Revolution, man became such a physical being that he, logic and what we see in science, that we didn't become scientists, we become worshippers of science. We don't even accept, there's so many simple proofs for spirituality that, you're stupid not to believe in it. Science itself, we had this discussion on quantum mechanics, science itself proves that, you can see, not proves, there's no proof, you can't prove something which is spiritual, but shows very rationally that there has to be some sort of answers in terms of spirituality to answer the questions of life. But they're still closed, no, we can't see it, so it doesn't exist. How do you explain, all these people who have, deaths and they come out? It's not one or two people. They see things. Oh, it's psychological, they're going to say. Or all of them have the same psychological thing. Why? Or the people, how you say these people who can talk to each other? How you say telepathy and all these things? Oh, those are physical things? The mind? Maybe it is, I don't know. But there's enough things that happen that, you can't explain them through just the physical process. Why do they open their minds to these things? Why don't they understand there's a spiritual world? Well, they're so scared. That's the fight of Yavin. That's the fight. That's the fight we have. That's why we still have Hanukkah. Hanukkah is still around. We still have this fight. And when we go back to the world, the world of commerce, the world of doctors, the world of all these things, we'll be faced with these attitudes. And we have to deepen our answers in order to give answers to those places. Yeah.
See, it's clear to see, well, to me at least, that there of course is spirituality in the world, right? And then, the more I learn Torah, and where we pull, midrashim from all these different areas, and we learned about Levon, and it was incredible. And also, Yavan and everything, all this stuff. It proves that the Torah is real. To me, at least, but just the concept of God is so hard to fathom.
Concept of God, we could not. What your question is, it's a real question. How could, we spoke about this once as well, how can you have a relationship with God? He's beyond us. So you have to understand that in terms of having a relationship with God, we can't have a relationship with God in the sense of God in of himself. Our relationship to God can only be in terms of our view of God, in terms of how we view God. And I'll be honest with you, usually speaking, the Gemara says this, usually speaking, I'm not going to go into psychology or whatever, this is Gemara, that our relationship with our parents affects our relationship with God. Sometimes a person's blockage in his davening or in his learning, whatever it is, could have sometimes an effect because of relationships or trust or other issues which can affect him feeling a connection. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Hish v'kavod amokam, the honor of God to the honor of parents. Why? Because a child, as he develops, you always hear these things, my daddy's a giant. That's how children look at a parent. There's something, even the worst of parents. Even psychologists, even the worst of parents, children try and understand their parents. Even the children who are battered will still see their parents as parents, and will still somehow want to accept them as parents, whatever. Right? Because that's the way, through our parents, we understand trust from our mother, fear from our father, right? Ira, I don't know if fear is the right word, Ira from our father. And we through that, the relationship with man and his parents, man develops also later on to have a relationship with God. So sometimes that feeling might not, it is there, but it's innate, it has to come out. Everyone's different. Everyone has to know their own way to rekindle that connection. It's not necessarily, because he's around. You say, Baruch Atah, blessed are you. You're speaking personally. He's a personal God. He's available. You can talk to him. You can ask him for things. Certainly things which you should be getting, right? To give you, if you can't daven to him, or if you can't, don't feel that relationship, you can ask him to make you daven. That's what we do every time in our tefillah. God, open our lips. Hashem sifatai tiftach. Ufi yagid telatecha. My mouth will say your praise. We're asking him to help us to pray. Can't get better than that, right? Okay, sorry, what was your question?
I have two more questions. First of all, so God created the light initially.
This whole event, the exile of darkness.
Right.
Why was this darkness brought out in the first place? I gotta go, Rabbi. Sorry to interrupt. You know, Alex, we're gonna miss you. I know. I'm gonna miss you too, Rabbi. Sorry we didn't get to meet more. I know, I know.
That's a shame. I wanted to meet you. I didn't know you were leaving. Had I known you were leaving, I would have told Rabbi Lynn I wanted to meet you. You, I think you should have come to Mokhan Shlomo.
I would have been okay.
Huh?
Then I would have been okay.
Really? I know you've been okay, but, yeah. You could always come back.
I know.
We want to, you're a good boy.
Thanks, man.
On what?
You're a good boy. Your heart's in the right place. Boys who are looking for meaning in life will find it. It might take them longer, but they'll find it. But don't give up looking. If you give up looking, that's sad. When the person gives up, Yush, you know what Yush is?
No.
You get that, Yush lomi das. Yush without das, the Gemara says, lo have a Yush. It's not considered Yush.
What's Yush?
Yush means to give up hope. Give up hope without proper thinking is not considered Yush. Meaning is a difficult thing to find in life. It takes time to find it. Even in yeshiva, it takes time. You have to meet also the right people to find it. Not everyone's the right person for finding it. But if you give up, there's no way to find it. Because meaning is not something that someone says, oh look, here's meaning. Meaning is something you have to look for. If you don't look for it, you're never going to find it. And when a person gives up to look for the meaning in life, he's giving up on life. And that's sad. Most people, unfortunately, in the world gave up on looking for meaning. And they gave up because they live shallow lives. And the reality of truth is the reality of meaning. The reality of depth. The reality of pneumius. Of, you know, depth in everything. And a person who's deep won't accept all this, you know, all this simple things they say, you know. A president of the United States gets the Peace Prize. Why didn't he get an Olympic medal for running? He also got that one.
He'll get it.
Probably, yeah. The first black man on Everest. He went with a helicopter. You know, there's things like that. You understand, you know? It's partially also that they feel so bad about themselves that they oppress these, I don't know, so they have to, you know, they somehow have to, like, you know, like, give them things that, you know, we're just so great, you're so great, look, you're equal to us, look, you've got the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't know what their reasoning is for. But, you know, we live in a very shallow world, and people live very shallow lives. So at least when we're in yeshiva, we should be looking for meaning. If we don't get it when you're yeshiva, maybe we weren't looking enough. Maybe we weren't searching enough. Maybe we weren't talking to the right people or whatever. But it's there. It might take time, but it's there. But even in Chutzlach, when you go back, you're going back to America, you're going to university, it's probably there's Rebbein that you can meet there. It's not the same as an Eretz Yisrael. The quality of Rebbein, you know, if you take a rabbi here, you put him Chutzlach, it's like, he's like a big, he's a big guy over there, you know. But it's different. You don't have the same quality in Chutzlach as you have here. But probably, maybe, you know, you should speak to Rabbi Gershenfeld or the Rabbi Lin, that should connect you with people that you're there. You can also come in the summer. So, you know, when you have a winter break, you can come in the summer. There's a STEP program in Mokhan Shlomo, there's Rabbi Jakubovic here. You can still come. You can see. You're a deep boy. Don't give up on that. It's a shame. That's the worst thing the person can give up. Give up on everything else. I don't care, give up on everything else. But don't give up on looking for that. Don't give up on learning. Don't give up on speaking to people who are deep and finding out. That's giving up on life. Then it's sad. Then it's very sad. Okay? You're a good boy.
Thanks,
Stay. You should stay. You should get his real answers. You should stay. These guys want you to stay. Look at them. You've got good friends here. He's going to miss you. What is he going to do? Who's going to take him to Ben Yehuda on Thursday? Who's going to take him to Ben Yehuda? Give me a break. Who's going to take him? He's going to be bored now. It's your fault.
He probably won't be bored.
Huh? Yeah.
He probably won't
move. I don't know. He's an interesting guy.
He's an interesting guy.
I can see. He's an interesting guy. Right?
It's going to be a sad day when you're gone.
Yeah, the yeshiva will be different without you. Yeah. But, you know what they say? You always make what's called a Sudas Preda. You know what a Sudas Preda is? A meal for saying bye-bye to a person. Why? It's stupid. You're saying bye-bye to this guy. He's not going to see him again. Why do you make a Suda? It's like, you know, if a Chas V'Shalom, a person divorces his wife. So you make a nice Suda. And they say, I'm going to divorce you now, right? That makes sense. So why are you making a Suda if you say bye-bye? That's not the pshat in the Suda's prayer. The pshat, a Suda, that's why, you know, there's certain halachas of Suda. Suda, eating is always something that connects people. It's kiruv hadas. The Gemara says, it's kiruv hadas. When you eat with someone, it connects you with someone. Right? So why are you doing a Suda of connection when you're separated? Because you're not... A Suda's Preda doesn't mean a Suda of disconnection. It means a Suda of connection. Why is a Suda of connection? Because it's what it is. When a person leaves, he doesn't really leave. We're not saying bye-bye to you. We're saying we connected to you. We're still connected to you. We know you have to go your own way. We're sad to see you leave. But we're going to see you again. Whether it's in America, we're going to see you again. Whether it's in another year's time, we're going to see you again. But we're going to see you again. That's a Sudas Preda. So that you guys have made him a Sudas Preda?
Not yet?
No, this isn't it. You have to organize it. You're going to miss him. You have to get... When's he leaving?
We got one. We actually have one.
A few beers, a few. Come on, you guys. You can work it out.
I'm down.
Yeah. Sudas Preda. Have a nice Suda. Yeah, with a few of you. Look, it's Chanukah. So you have to have Sufgariot. Come on. If you don't have Sufgariot, it's not Chanukah, Michal. You know, you can light them as well. So have a Sudas Preda.
Do you want to meet after this, or do you not have time? Do you want to meet after this?
Yeah, we can meet if you want. You want to meet after this? Okay.
You can just go. I need to meet with the rabbi, so...
Really?
Yeah.
Alright.
Okay.
Anybody
want to
go get some beers next to the...
Let's stop here. Yeah, okay, quick, yeah.
Evan, I don't know. Well, first of all,
you want to come right now?
They light the world before. How does thing about this come about? The exile of darkness. I mean, was there always darkness in the world? Hanukkah was the first time that you're about divine presence.
The Metzias of the world. The Metzias of the world is darkness. Have your Hanukkah. The Metzias of the world. In order for God to create the world, you have to leave the world. So the world... darkness.
It was dark all the way up.
Yeah. Until the first day, it was a world of darkness.
Right.
And then God brought His light into the world.
Right.
But it was a mixture of light and darkness. And that wasn't fitting for light and darkness to mix. So He separated it from the time. Because it was brought into the world, it affected the darkness.
Right.
And it gave the darkness the ability to be lit enough. And Hanukkah, right? That the ability to be lit up, it was impregnated into the reality of the world on the first day, and that was expressed. The beginning of that expression came about in history through Hanukkah, and ultimately will be the full expression of the Yom HaMashiach, the time of Mashiach, and the world to come.
The expression of darkness or light?
Light.
But so how can we call it a victory then if we're still fighting that?
Because
we're still fighting the darkness.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever Chazal speak about a victory, it was a victory that we fought. We have now. Chazal introduced a concept which we now, like for example, a victory means that is, if you have a virus in your computer, right, and now you have an antivirus, and you get rid of your viruses, right? Yeah, you get rid of the viruses, right? You have a victory. That means you're not going to have any viruses anymore. But you have now an antivirus. You have an antibiotic. Hanukkah is the antibiotic for the Greek theology.
Okay.
Or that concept. We have the antibiotics.
Okay.
That doesn't mean the illness doesn't exist. The illness was brought to the world through the Greeks. It was intrinsic. It's possible in Chumash. Choshech is Greek. So it's intrinsic to creation because the darkness is intrinsic to having light. Without darkness, there would not have been able to be a world of light.
Right.
And the Jewish people represent that light. But what aspect of the Jewish people? That's Teres Anista, that's Primus Eteric. You understand? That's an antibiotic for that. So you have to know what your antibiotics are. If you have a certain illness, you give the right antibiotic, you're just going to weaken the guy, right? So you have to know. To fight Greek, that's what you fight.
Okay.
That's the antibiotic for it. You understand?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.